Okay, so this is one of my more favorite topics that comes up in the Masechta. It's this idea, and it's introduced by a very interesting drasha in the Gemara. It's in the middle of the drushas that the Talmidim told to Rabbi Yoshua from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and it's actually not 100% clear who the author of this drasha is. So Rashi will tell you, right? Rashi, who does Rashi hold the author of the drasha is? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? So it makes sense that that is the case because it's at the end of the drasha, Rabbi Yoshua is so excited about it that he says, oh, he says, any generation that has Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will never be considered a Dor Yosom, right? They'll be considered they always have a great leader in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Somebody could say such kevalig drushas like this, so they'll always be in good shape. However, if you noticed, there's a little gimel, and it's from the Rabbi Tzala Ronshberg. So he has some hagos on the sides, different mesechtas. So he's probably most famous for his sefer on Maseches Nida, Chachmas Betzalel. It's an important sefer on Hilchos Nida, on Maseches Nida. But he has these little hagos over here. And in Hagah Gimel, he just points to the Maharsha, says that, no, this is Rabbi Yoshua's own drasha. So either way, you want to give credit to Rabbi Yoshua, you want to give credit to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You guys know the reason we try to give the credit to the right person. I don't know if this is the reason, but right. So we say that if you say something b'shem Omro, it's maybe a sagula l'olam. We learn from the Gemara Megillah that talks about Esther, right? Right. She told Achashverosh b'shem Mordechai. Right. So that's one reason. Also, there's a comment in Arvei Psachim that. I forgot already who it was, but one of the Tanaim sent his son to find out a certain Shita in Kiddush, and he sent somebody else instead, and then he said, you lost out. If they would have said it in your name, then it would have been, you would have been Zochet Svasos Sifsosav Dobavos Bekever, that when they say it in your name, your lips move in the Kever, right? So I don't know if that's meant to be taken literally, since most people in the Kever don't have lips anymore, but it means that the Zechus of your Torah continues on in your name, and you have some kind of a major Zechus whenever they quote something from you in the future. So, okay, either way, either it was in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or Rabbi Yoshua. So let's just read it together. So he was darshning a somewhat cryptic pasuk in Mishlei. Divrei chachamim kedarbonos ukemasmeros netuim. So the words of the chachamim are like darbonos. Those are like, I don't know, did anybody look that up in Art Scroll to see what that word actually means?
It's like I think it says darbon, but it explains what it is.
Oh, it's a darbon is a darbon.
I just said it's a point okay. of staff.
Right, it's a stick. It's a stick that you use to keep the ox that's plowing.
Gourd was a good old translation, but yeah.
Right.
I didn't look up gourd, I just something
like it said gourd.
The word is gourd in the Art Scroll, but Jasho said like point of staff.
Gourd? No, gourd is something else.
Gourd's a vessel, no?
Right, it's like a pumpkin.
I think it was spelled like G-O-A. G-O-U is the pumpkin.
Right.
G-O-A.
A goad. Goad, like to goad somebody into something. It means to like lure them in. If you like, you can goad someone into a fight. You can trick them into fighting with you, or you can convince them to fight with you. So, okay, so that's a goad. It means it convinces the cow to go on the right path. So the Torah is like that, but it's also like nails that are stuck into a wall. Balia sufos nosnu meroa echod. Right, so it's from the Bali Asufos, right? Those who are like they learn in gatherings, and it was given from one shepherd. So okay, so it's a little bit of a difficult pasuk to understand. Lama nimshul divrei Torah ledarbon lomar lecha ma darbon zeh mechavinis apara letzlamel lahotzi chayim. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. No, lahotzi chayim laolam. So the darbon goads the cow into sticking with the plowing that furrow on the straight and narrow, so it can bring plant life into the world. So too, the Torah keeps us on the right path, keeps us away from the path of Misa onto the path of life. Vima darban ze metaltel. Yeah, but a darban is something you could swing it in whatever direction you want to swing it in. Afdivrei Torah metaltel. So you'll say, yes, yeah, so too the Torah. You can basically use it for whatever you want. You don't have to, it's not something that has its own rules and discipline. You can just do with it as you see fit. So Talmud Lomar masmeros. No, it's like nails. It's like stuck into the wall. And you have to, it has very, very strict parameters. You can't just take the Torah and do whatever you want with it. But nevertheless, it keeps us on the straight path. So ima masmer ze chaser velo yaser. So, but nails, this is the way they are. They're stuck in the wall. They're not going to grow. Av divrei Torah chaser velo yaser. And so too, maybe Torah, it's stuck the way it is. It just gets smaller. It's more stuck into the wall. It doesn't grow outward. Talmud Lomar netuim, right? So it's it's like a neta. It's like a plant. Manetia af zu paravarava af divrei Torah parim varavin, right? Just like plants grow, so too the Torah grows. Right? You start off with one little Tanakh, Torah Shebichsav, and you get houses and houses and houses full of svarim, right? So that's the Torah is constantly expanding, constantly growing. And then Bali Asufos. Who are the Bali Asufos? The people. Elo Tamina Chacham Shioshvin Asufos Asufos Va'oskin B'Torah. Right. These are the Tamina Chacham who sit in large gatherings and they learn Torah. Halalu Metamin Halalu Metarin. Halalu Osurin Halalu Matirin. Halalu Posin Halalu Machshirin. Okay. So everybody holds a different shita. Shema Yomer Adam Hechani Lo Me Torah Me'ata. How can I learn now? It's just a bunch of people saying all kinds of things. So Talmud Lomar. No. Therefore, the Torah comes and teaches you, Nasnu me roe echad. Right, the boxers adds that in, right? It was given from one shepherd. Kula nasnu me roe echad, kel echad nasnan, parnes echad omran mi pi adon kol ha-ma'asim baruchu. Right? So it says that it was all given from one individual, Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was from the one God, and he is the king of everything. He is the master of everything. As it says, right, Daber Elokim is kol ha-devarim ha-ila, right? Af, ata. So now, what do you have to do? You have to make, asay oznecha ka'afar cheses, uknei lecha lev maven lishmo as divrei metam, as divrei metarim, as divrei ozen, as divrei matirin, as divrei posim, as divrei machshirin. Right? So what do you have to do because of this? You have to turn your ear into a funnel, into a hopper, that's willing to be mekabel all of the different opinions, because they're all part of the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu delivered to us from the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's basically the Gemara's analysis of why it's okay that we have all of these different viewpoints. Because since they all come from the one God and they were all given by the one shepherd, so it's fine that we have all these different opinions. Does that seem to solve the problem for you? I think that leads to more kashas than it does terutzim, no? Because you say, like, isn't this crazy? How am I supposed to learn Torah? So one way to look at it is just, okay, so we said, look, yes, there are too many opinions, but since Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great man, and he delivered Hashem's Torah, and Hashem is the one God, so too bad, you got to listen to all the opinions, because the one who gave the Torah and the one who wrote the Torah, they're worth it. But that's not necessarily the pshat in the Gemara.
So, meaning they arrived at the MS through their own knowledge. So, I thought that was their idea.
Okay, so you're saying that you have to listen to all the opinions if you really want to get it right. But like, in a chinami, most of those opinions are junk. They should be thrown away. But you don't know what to throw away until you hear it. Okay, that's a very important viewpoint. Yeah.
Like our campers asked us today, why do we need to learn Gemara? Why can't we just learn like a list of halachas?
Right.
They weren't saying like they wanted to learn.
Yeah, I know.
They were more questioning our questions.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
So it was kind of, we gave a similar answer where it's like, this is like how you arrive at the answer.
Right.
Like, even though there might be stuff in here that you might quote unquote want to throw away.
Okay.
You know what, you need to hear everything.
Okay. So that is that, and that's a very both what you're saying is very true. But I don't know if it's necessarily the only way to understand this Gemara, or perhaps we'll see. So there are a few places where we discuss this concept of Eloi Avodei Elokim Chaim. Before I get to that, I just want to go on a little sidetrack, because I think the way I want to explain this concept will shed light on the concept of Kabbalah Satorah as well. Because we did mention the concept that it was given to us, and we quote, is given to us by Moshe, it was from Hashem, and they quoted the Pasuk, Dafka by the Aseres Adibros. Right, by Daber Elokim es Kol HaDevarim HaEleh, by the introduction to the Aseres HaDibros. So let's take a look at a very well-known Gemara in Shabbos Peches Amid Beis. Right, there are those now. It used to be when I was a kid, everybody who was giving shir would say, "Oh, there's a famous Gemara that says, a famous Gemara that says." Now it's become more popular not to call any Gemaras famous because certain Rabbanim will say, "Well, if you call it a famous Gemara, now this guy doesn't know it, so he's going to feel bad. He's going to think, oh, so famous, and I still don't know it." So I hear that, Taina. But if you don't know this Gemara, you should feel bad. So, too bad. It's a famous Gemara. So,
it should be the opposite. You say, it's a famous Gemara. So that, if the kid doesn't know it, so now he knows, perk up and get this one in.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a different different ways, different perspectives. But nevertheless, this Gemara you already know. Ma'amar Bishua ben Levi, Bishash Allah Moshe Lamarom, Amar Malach Yashas Neyakarish Brach, Rabban Shalom, Ma'ilud Isha Beinenu. What is this human being doing here? Right? The Malachim, they don't like us so much. So Amar Lahan, Lekabel Torah Ba. He came to get the Torah. Amar Lafanav, Chamuda Ganzua Gnuza, She Gnuza Laf Tesha Meos, Vishim Arba Doros, Kodem Shinivra Olam, Atam Avakas, the Basav Adam. Right? So this Torah has been around and it's been stored up in the treasure house for 974 generations before the world was created. And you're going to give it to humans? Why are you bothering with these people? They're worthless. Right, skipping a little in the Gemara, I gave you a little ellipsis there to indicate that. So Amar Lefana, Ribbono Shalom, Torah Shata Nosein Li, Maksiv Bei. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu starts to argue with the Malachim, and he says, Ribbono Shalom, what does it say in your Torah? Anok Hashem Alkech HaShot Seisi Yikam Eretz Mitzrayim. Amar Len, L'Mitzrayim Yiradetem, L'Paro Hishtabatem, Torah L'Matei Lachem. Right, what do you need the Torah for? It doesn't apply to you. Shuv Maksiv Bei, Lo Yelech Olohim Acherim. Right, you shouldn't have other gods. Bein agoyim atem shurim sha'ovdin avodah zarah. Right, you're living amongst non-Jews that you might be tempted to worship avodah zarah. Right, shuv maksiv bezachos yom shabbos lekatcho klum atem osim malacha shatem tzrichim shvus. You're not doing malacha to begin with that you need Shabbos. Shuv maksiv belosisa maso matan yesh bein. You don't do business. Shuv maksiv ba kabedes avich vesimecha. Hashem said, "All right, Moshe, you won the argument, right?" So now we have another question, which is, did the Malachim think the Torah applied to them? And furthermore, what was the point of this debate? Hashem decided he's giving the Torah to people. Does that preclude the Malachim from learning Torah? Does that? How does this make sense that like the Malachim are so angry that Hashem is letting us learn the Torah? Meaning, if I'm saying over the shir now, so I knew what I was going to say before I got here. You know, sometimes it comes out one way, sometimes it comes out a different way. But lamaisa, you have the basic idea of what you're going to say over. I don't lose out by saying it over. It only helps to say it over. So now you know whether you're mekabel or not is up to you, but. You don't lose out when you give the Torah. It's not like, okay, no more Torah and Shemayim now because we're not able to, we just gave it to the people. We can't learn Torah anymore. So what are the Malachim all upset about? So let the people get the Torah and they'll continue to learn Torah.
Usually, when a person sells something, so the seller leaves out and the buyer wins.
Right.
By Torah, even the seller wins because, as it says,
exactly. So that's another question we could ask over there. And then just one more question, we'll try to bring it home, is by Kabbalah Satorah, we all know, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad, right? We don't read the second part of the Rash, didn't make any of the songs, but right? It says, Aval Shar Kol HaChanayos Betaromes U'machlokes. Right, so every other time they camped, there was some arguments going on, right? But this time there was not one outstanding machlokes that existed. So we had this achdus in the Kabbalah of the Torah. So on one hand, we're celebrating our humanity, and on the other hand, a prelude to Kabbalah of the Torah was we had a tremendous achdus. So why is that? All right, so let's put that on the back burner and come back to the sugya of Elu Ve'Elu Dibrei Elokim Chayim. So this phrase actually shows up in two different contexts in the Gemara. One is with Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel, and discussing why we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Sholosh Shanim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Halalu Omrim Alacha Kimoseinu, Halalu Omrim Alacha Kimoseinu, Yotza Bas Kol Omrim, Eilu Ve'elu Dibrei Elokim Chayim Ve'alacha Kibeis Hillel. It's this interesting thing. The Bas Kol said, first, you should just know, both of you are Divrei Elokim Chaim. Shouldn't feel bad. But, sorry, Beis Shammai, we're going with Beis Hillel over here. And the Gemara doesn't seem to understand this statement too well. If they're both Divrei Elokim Chaim, so why do we possibly Beis Hillel? Very strange answer. Mipnei shenochin ve'aluvin hayu, because they were pleasant and they were disgraced. Meaning they would, you know, the concept of aluv is that someone is willing to hear people rip on him and not answer back. They just take the punishment. Says v'shonin divrei v'divrei b'shamai. And they not only learn their own words, they also learn the words of b'shamai. V'lo od el shemagdim in divrei b'shamai l'divreihem. And not only that, but they would actually quote Beis Shammai first. So, I feel like this Gemara creates more problems than it solves. Right? Okay, so we paskin like Beis Hillel. Very nice. So, first question is, why do we need Eilu Ve'Elu Dibrei Elokim Chaim? So Gemara says, it's to teach you really they're both right, but we passing like Beis Hillel. So why do we passing like Beis Hillel? Because they're very nice and respectful. Okay, so now anytime there's a machlokes, we'll just have a contest. Who's the nicer guy? And that guy, apparently his Torah is more meaningful than the other person's Torah. It's a little strange. Right? It doesn't fit with the famous shita they say over from the Zohar that... In La Asid Lavo, the Nimosa Mashiach, we're going to pass on like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel. Right? And you've heard that probably, you know, when you're a kid. In the future, we'll pass on like Beis Shammai. So, why? In the future, we'll all be mean?
Well, doesn't he recommend, he goes by Beis, like, when he gives, Beis Hillel is always very more, he's more like what it should be, but and then like Beis Shammai is more practically what we could actually enforce.
Right, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Beis Shammai is not as nice as Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is very, very nice.
But right now, because we can't be ideal, we now go based off of the person. We can't.
No, I think you're right. And just the question is, how do you fit that into the Gemara?
Beis Hillel Shita is usually more like what should be done. Like
Beis Hillel represents Midas HaRachamim, and Beis Shammai represents Midas HaDin. Mostly we paskin. We generally, I mean, the Mishnah Adios lists off the times that Beis Shammai is more makel than Beis Hillel. Usually Beis Hillel is more makel. So we just take it lakula. But that's not really what this Gemara is saying. This Gemara is saying that they're more pleasant, right? They quote Beis Shammai. So without getting into this, Tosfos has a comment where Tosfos is bothered by why would we pass on like a Bas Kol at all? Right? We have the concept. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't paskin like a Bas Kol. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua had that big machlokes in Bar Mitzia on the Tanur Shel Achnai, and the Bas Kol says, why are you arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? He's always right. And Rabbi Yeshua says, mind your own business, Bas Kol. We don't paskin like you. Right? So the Tosfos says, why are we paskin like the Bas Kol over here and not over there? So Tosfos answers, because the real reason we paskin like Beis Hillel is they were the Rove. We have a concept of Achrei Rabban Lahatos. We go by the majority. But why would we need a baskol to tell us the Pasanai Besilah? It's Pasanai Besilah anyway. So Tosos' answer is because Beis Shammai were smarter. Beis Shammai were, it was known that Beis Shammai was the smarter yeshiva than Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel was the rove, and the baskol was just telling us, no, you should keep the Torah. This is not an exception to the rule. This is the rule. But again, it's not so clear. So based on the Tosos, you could just learn this Gemara as saying the reason Beis Hillel was the rove is that it was a better yeshiva to go to. You didn't need to be a genius to go there, okay. But they were also more pleasant to deal with. So more people wanted to learn Beis Hillel's yeshiva than they wanted to learn Beis Shammai's yeshiva. And therefore they were the rove. And not only that, but every sheet of Beis Shammai, even though Beis Shammai was greater, Beis Hillel would quote Beis Shammai first. So it's not about being a nice guy, right? There's a concept of Mimos Abaye V'Rava V'Elach Hilchasa Kebasroi. You know what Hilchasa Kebasroi means? We paskin like the later authority. So that's a kasha on the whole concept. Why do we pass on the later authority? Don't we say that the earlier authorities were greater? There's a concept of Yuridas Hadoros. So we should pass on like the earlier authority, not the later authority. So there's a machlokes between Rava on one end and Rav Ashi on the other hand. We should pass on like Rava, because Rava is greater than me. He was two generations before Rav Ashi. So shouldn't we pass on like Rava? Yeah?
I mean, but the later generations saw the machlokes meaning.
Right, so one of the explanations that's given is that in Achinami, we feel the earlier generation was greater, but the earlier generation does not have the advantage of hearing the later generation's opinion. The later generation quotes the earlier generation's opinion and argues against it for reasons X, Y, and Z. So we got to hear your opinion first, and we got to analyze your opinion. Right, so that's the concept of standing on the shoulders of giants. We can stand on your shoulders without, of course, you'd tower above us. But we can. We've heard what you have to say. We've incorporated, and afal pi kein, we still disagree. So maybe if you were around, we could convince you that we were really right. But you never heard our taina. If the earlier generations already heard the taina and rejected it, there's a ran in the beginning of Sukkah says this. If the he's talking a little bit different there. He's talking about machlokes between Rava and Rabba. Why are we passing like Rava against Rabba when Rabba was Rava's Rebbe. I'm going to say that five times fast. But so the Ran says, because there's a concept, Ein halacha ketalmid b'makam Rabbo, you pass him like the Rebbe against the Talmud, only if the Rebbe heard the Talmud's argument and rejected it. But if the Rebbe never heard it, maybe he would have accepted it. And therefore we say, Hilchsa kebasroi, in that case. So that's the idea, perhaps, that the Gemara is going with in terms of the second point, that Makdimin Divrei Beis Shammai LeDivrei. Yeah, Beis Shammai was smarter, but Beis Shammai didn't always pay attention to Beis Hillel's Shita, because Beis Hillel knew Beis Shammai was smarter than they were, so they bedafka started every shir quoting Beis Shammai and then seeing whether or not they agreed. And once they disagreed with Beis Shammai, they had more of an advantage. Okay, so that's one nekuda. Next, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Vav Amud Beis is discussing this idea as well. They're having a machlokes between two lesser quoted Tanoim, Rabbi Evyasar and Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi, this machlokes about Pilegesh Begiva. You guys know the story of Pilegesh Begiva? So not knowing the story is not that big of a deal for this Gemara, but basically this fellow threw his wife out of the house for some reason, and then eventually he went to beg her to come back, and he got her to come back, and on the way back she was killed, and in Shevet Binyamin basically nobody gave them a place to stay, and she was killed because they had to sleep on the street, and it caused a whole civil war in Klal Yisrael. So the question they're dealing with is why did he get so angry at her and throw her out of the house in the first place? So this is Vatizne Allah Pilag Show, Rabbi Yasser, Omer Zvuv matzalah, he found a fly in the soup. Rabbi Yonasan Amar Nima matzalah, he found a hair in the soup. The Ashkechei Rabbi Yasser Le'Eliyahu, and Rav Aviyasar once found Eliyahu HaNavi. Amalei, my ko'avir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is God doing right now? You're Eliyahu HaNavi. You have some great inside information. I'm just curious. What is Hashem doing right now? Amalei, Osik bePilegish beGiva. Oh, he's actually learning the topic of Pilegish beGiva. Umayka Omar. So what does he hold? Who's right? Me or Rabbi Yonasan? So he says, Amar le ev yasar b'ni kachu omer. Yonasan b'ni kachu omer. He says, my son ev yasar, he says like this. My son Yonasan, he says like this. Amar le, Rav ev yasar, he couldn't accept that. Chas v'shalom, umi ika sveika kame shmaya. Is there a suffix in front of God? Amar le, elu, so Eliyahu HaNavi answers back to Rav ev yasar, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim hein. No, you're both right. You're both divrei Elokim chayim. But listen how he explains it. Zvuv matzah v'lo hikpid, nima matzah v'hikpid. He actually found both. He found a fly and he found a hare, but the fly didn't set him off. The hare set him off. And that's what caused him to flip out. So he says, you're both right. You're arguing over what's the Iker, what's the Tafel. Meaning, so now isn't that like saying that Rav Yonasan is right? No. Meaning Rav Avias, meaning they're both agreeing to the Metzius. There was a fly, there was a hare. The question is, what do we look at? Do we go Busser, the thing that, you know, got him a little upset to the point that when he found something small, then he really lost it? Or do we say, no, everything goes based on the Makeh B'Patish. Everything goes based on the... he really lost it when he saw the hair, so the hair is what counts. Right? So that's how you can learn this, what he's saying over here. So, fine. All right, then they go a little bit further. I don't want to get into it right now, but there's a lot of interesting things that go on the rest of this Gemara, but basically they talk about you shouldn't make your house such a place where people are afraid to make mistakes. L'olam al yatil adam ema yaseir b'toch beisa. Right? You shouldn't make your house such a tense, anxious place. You make it a place where people are, you know, willing to laugh when something goes wrong. Not everything has to be a big deal. You know? So, yeah.
You say putting plastic on the couches is in violation of
I have a different, totally different reason for that, because people are gonna, when they sit on the plastic couches, they're gonna get all schwitzed, and then they're gonna get angry at every little thing. So that's why. I don't know. When I was a kid, it was somewhat prevalent that it still existed. It doesn't really exist anymore, I don't think. And Baruch Hashem, with the advent of leather couches, it's not necessary. But you should get leather couches. A, I find it's more comfortable, and B, if the kids spill on the leather couch, you just wipe it off. So it's good to have a leather couch. I don't think it's more expensive necessarily. So, okay. All right. So that's a little different. So these are the two takes that we have on Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So the take that I find less exciting, I think, is what you guys were suggesting. I saw it quoted here in the name of the Chida. So this is Shalz Jiva Zivchei Tzedek. I don't know anything about the Zivchei Tzedek, but he does quote this Chida. And the Chida is not the only one who says this idea. You can find an allusion to this idea in the Netziv. You can find an allusion to this idea in the Nesivis, in his Hakdama. It's not exactly the same, but it's the same idea. So, Barav Chida, B'Sefer Pesach Einayim, Meseches, B'Metzia, Ayin Beis, Der Maschel, Imalacha Kemosi, right? He's commenting on the big machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on the Tanu Shalachnai. Hevi Gimel Terutzim Al Zev, Ezel Lashono, Sham. He says, why do we say Elu ve'elu if one guy's right and one guy's wrong? You can't really recognize the light unless it was dark. You can't really see the truth unless you know what falsehood is. Right, obviously, you turn on a flashlight, they light a candle in a light room or outside during the day, it does nothing, right? What's the phrase they use? Of the shraga betira mayahani. Right? What good is a torch in the middle of the day, a lamp in the middle of the day, doesn't do any good. Right? So here he says, you can't tell what's true unless you say what's not true. Kena davar hazeh. You're not going to understand something on its own unless you understand its opposite as well, right? I think Rav Huttner has a shtickle in the Pachad Yitzchak. That's the pshat of Adelo Yadam in Aruch Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. That you're not going to understand Baruch Mordechai unless you know what Aruch Haman is first, right? So he's saying that you don't know the truth unless you know what's not the truth. Lachain, Amar Hashem al Moshe, Divrei Amizakin v'Amachayvin. Therefore, when Hashem taught the Torah to Moshe, he taught him both opinions. Kayotzi bo mitoch asvar dechuya tivne v'tuchonin amitis hachad. So that was answer number one that he quotes from the Chida, that you're not going to understand the right answer unless you first know the wrong answer. Okay. And that's a very important yesod. I think that's a good answer to get to the halacha l'maisa. But it's not the more prevalent answer. I think the more prevalent answer is the Ritva. That's on the Gemara in Erevin. So he says, Shalu Rabbani Tzarfa. So he's actually quoting, who are the French rabbis? He's quoting the Balei HaTosfos. Right? We don't have such a Tosfos, but the Ritva apparently had such a tradition in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. So, it says, Heich efshar sheyehu shneyem divrei elokim chayim. V'ze oser v'ze man. How can they both be the word of God? One is saying the opposite of the other. V'tirtzu, and they answered, Ki kesha'ala Moshe l'marom l'kabal Torah, heru lo al kol davar v'davar, mem tes panim l'isser, or mem tes panim l'eter. Hashem showed him on every single issue in the Torah, 49 ways to say that it's aser and 49 ways to say that it is mutter. V'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu al zeh. And Moshe asked God about this. V'amar she heizeh masur l'chachmei Yisrael shebechol dor v'dor v'yiyah achra kemosam. This is going to be given over to every generation of poskim, of the chachamim, and they're going to paskin the shayla. So he's saying that really, every issue in Torah has multiple perspectives, and the Psak Halacha is nikba based on the Chacham. So we vote on it. V'nachon hu l'fi hadrash, u'b'derech ha'emes yesh tam v'so b'davar. He says, that's the correct reason I'll be drash. He says, if you want to get into fancy Kabbalistic answers, there is a way to answer it as well, but I'm not going to tell you. Ha ha ha. Right, he says, you should just know I have a better answer that I'm going to keep to myself. Hopefully, later in the summer, we'll discuss why the Ritva doesn't tell us these answers. Not just the Ritva, when you get to the second parak, that's the discussion of not giving over the hidden Torah to people who are not worthy. So the Ritva has deemed us unworthy of his second answer. So it's probably true, just for the record. I know, knowing myself the way I do, he's probably right. So, but nevertheless, the Ritva tells us it's about the fact that every idea in the Torah can be explained in many, many different directions, and this is elaborated upon. I don't know if we're going to read it inside. Let me try to explain it outside first. But I think I'll give you a very valid representation of the Maharal in the Sefer Be'er Agola. Quotes our Gemara, he's going through Perek He in the Be'er Agola, the first Be'er, is all about our Gemara. So he goes through each little stanza in our Gemara and he explains each piece. And what he's talking about over here is, I'll just give you an easy example. So what color is this?
White with a little black.
Right, so it's definitely white with a little black, with a little bit of gray. So basically, the way that would manifest itself in a machlokes, if I say you have to give one answer, what answer would you give?
White.
So you'll say white, right? Anybody want to hold black on this one?
Yeah, I'll
take the black opinion. Right, so why? Why are we arguing? What's the machlokes? So one mandamer is saying, well, it's white. Well, it's either white or it's black or it's white and black. Right? Can it be all of the above? Yes. It is all of the above. But that's not what we're focusing on. We're focusing on what's the ikker, what's the koveya, Right? So you can argue, well, the words are why this paper exists. There's no, nobody wants to just stare at a blank piece of paper. They want the paper as a hechitimtza to put words on it. So the words are the ikar, so by definition, the paper is black. Right? On the other hand, if the words had nowhere to go, then it would be what we call osios porchos ba'avir. Right? So it would just be a bunch of letters flying around in space, and that wouldn't really accomplish anything. So you could say that really the ikar is white, because the words need a place to go. The physical foundation of the words is more important than what's on the paper, because had there been no paper, there would be no words on the paper anyway. And some could say, you know, maybe the gray is the most important, because that's the, now you know, at least you have a, even if you don't know what anything on the thing means, you'll at least know what mesechta it is, you know, I don't know. There are different sides to an argument. So this is obviously a very simplistic argument, but you can see how every area of halacha, which is obviously much deeper than just asking what color a piece of paper is, it can have many, many perspectives. And the machlokas is not about whether or not the perspective on your side is legitimate and the other side is false. It's about which one is the koveya, which one is the more important way of looking at things. Like we mentioned before, the nima versus the zvuv. Right, so you had Rav Yasser saying the zvuv, and you had Rav Yonasan saying the nima. And Hashem is saying it's both in the sense that both actually happened. So I don't even know how, but somehow Rav Yonasan and Rav Yasser were privy to the insight into the story that there must be some kind of a clue in the text of the Navi that this happened. Right, I have no idea how they got that out of the text, but in general, Chazal have ways of reading in between the lines and getting certain messages out of the words of the Chumash, out of the words of the Navi, etc. And they were reading the text, they were both reading the text correctly. And then one was saying that, yeah, from my reading, what clearly happened was is there was a Zvuv, and the other one saying, my reading, clearly there was a Nima. And they were both correct in what they got out of it. The only question was, what was the Iker and what was not the Iker? So according to Rav Yasser, the Iker was the Zvuv, because that's what got things started. Whereas according to Rav Yonasan, the Iker was the Nima, because that's what finished it. So really, they're having a bigger machlokas. How do we view things in general? Do we view that which originates it, that which gets the ball rolling, as the Iker? Or do we view the completion as the ikar, right? We have a concept, Eina mitzvah nikreis el ashrim gomro, right? If you want to say, who gets the credit for, who is the mitzvah named after? The person who finishes the mitzvah. Let's say I do 90% and he only did 10%. Okay, so it doesn't mean I didn't do anything. But this guy finished the mitzvah. It's called his mitzvah, right? So that seems to be like in conjunction with the opinion of that it was the nima, because the nima was what it finished it off. It was what ended, you know, is what ended the marriage and got the guy so crazy that he threw his wife out of the house.
It's kind of like what we had in the last few parshios. It was like punishments, that some of the punishments weren't necessarily, there weren't consequences right away, but then after, later on, Hashem then was like, oh, and you did these.
Right, like, very good, very good, right. If you would have changed your ways after that, I wouldn't have cared about the earlier problems.
The last straw, like,
right.
They all add
exactly,
up.
Exactly. So that's the idea that the Maral gives over, is that there, every area in Torah has tremendous depth to it, and it's not about one guy saying nonsense and one guy saying the truth. They're both saying things that are true. It's just a question of getting all the perspectives together. Now, let's read a little bit inside based on that little introduction. So it says, V'chein im adavar Torah, he says, let's pick it up in the middle over there. It's really in the middle of the paragraph, but V'chein im adavar Torah, yevshe shlo yeh b'china ma shel tuma. Even if the thing is actually tahor, it has some of the aspect of tuma in it. U'bnei adam mechulakim b'seichel. Now here's the punchline. People think differently. V'i'efsher sheyiyu kol seichel b'nei adam al derech echad. And it's impossible that we are, all of our minds are going to work on the same path. Kimoshi is bar, as we'll explain. Ulekach kol echad v'echad mekabel b'china achas kefi chaluk sichlam. So he says, therefore, every person needs to just give his one opinion based on the way his mind works. V'alze karam bali asufos. That's why they're called bali asufos. Rotzalomer. Sheyoshvim asufos v'oskim b'torah. They sit in groups to learn Torah. Sha'afi mechulakim b'sichlam. Since they think differently, or even though they think differently, they still sit together. And by sitting together, you get to hear all of the perspectives. So this is the Maharal's understanding of what Elu Ve'elu really means, is that when I'm hearing something, my mind works in a certain way. And therefore, only one of the opinions is going to make sense to me. I'll say to you, like, I really hear your side of the argument, but like, you're so wrong for my reasons. Right? I say, what does he do with his pasuk? What does he do with his pasuk? Well, why does he want to do anything with it? Why don't you just agree with him? Because he doesn't see it that way. He thinks differently. And that's the way Hashem made us. Hashem gave us all of these different deos. Now, just one caveat to this. There's a long Rashi in Ksuvus. I'm not going to read you the whole Rashi right now, but Rashi in Ksuvus Nun Zion, it's on an unrelated issue to the Rashi, but Rashi basically says, if you have everything we've been saying up until this point, where we say Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, only applies when you have two people reading a pasuk and arguing misvara denafshe, and I read the pasuk this way, you read the pasuk. I have my rayas, you have your rayas, you think your way is more correct than my way, etc. That's all true under those circumstances. However, sometimes, once in a while, not that often, but the Gemara will just argue, what did the Rebbe say? One guy will say, I heard the Rebbe say tameh, and one guy will say, I heard the Rebbe say tohor. So Rashi says, you don't say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim on those types of arguments. Because one guy is right and one guy is wrong. So when you have a machlokes in metzius, you don't say Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. You just have to find out who's right. And if you can't tell who's right, so you're a little stuck, but that's not Divrei Elokim Chayim on both sides. Divrei Elokim Chayim is when there is possible to have those dual perspectives based on how you look at things, and each one has a good svar. Now, that applies, obviously, sometimes one guy will argue it's tameh, and he has a good svar, and one guy will argue that it's tahor, and he has a bad svar. So bad svaras also get thrown out. Like, just because someone said something doesn't mean that that's officially part of the canon of Torah right now. Like, there are plenty of people who say lots of things, and, you know, there's not much behind it. And therefore, we don't automatically say Elu Ve'elu for every single opinion that exists. It has to be that you have rayas and you have svaras, and it's a strong argument, not an argument of what really happened versus what didn't happen. Right? Like, you have that sometimes in the Mishnah, they'll quote a Maisa, and then the other one will say, Misham Raya. And they'll say, and actually, the story was just the opposite. Right? So when you have that machlokas about what the story was, so then that's not Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. One position is right and one is wrong. So that's Rashi's clarification over here. But just to bring it back to the Etzem idea, so then what is halacha? What is the halacha l'maisa? So I once saw this in Rav Nevensal's Sicha on Parshas Noach. He was talking about the concept of the Sanhedrin, and we have a rule when it comes to the Sanhedrin that if a guy's on trial for his life, right? So how many dayanim do you have? 23. Let's say the vote is 23-0, that he's chayiv. What's the halacha? So it says he's potter. 23-0, that he's chayiv, he's potter.
Well,
we have a mitzvah general, the Yitzilo Aida, And part of Itzilo Eda is if it's a vote 23-0, then he is Potter. So Rav Neventzal explains, because as we've said, and he quotes further, the Gemara says that, how did you even get to be on the Sanhedrin? What was the, this is not a Sanhedrin necessarily, it's what we call a Sanhedrin Gitana. Right? Sanhedrin Gitana, what was one of the tests to get onto the Sanhedrin? You had to find many, many ways to be Metaher Asheretz. Right? So, newsflash, Shrutzim, dead ones especially, are Tameh. It's not so easy to be Metaher Asheretz. So he says, what is he talking about? So Rav Neventzal says, Pashit. As we said here, every single area of Torah has arguments mikan lakan. Now, obviously, a sheretz being tame is a very simple argument, but there are studim l'tahir as well, even on a sheretz. And part of getting onto the Sanhedrin is you have to be able to find both sides of the argument. So I'm going to tell you what my argument, now I want you to try to refute it. Anybody could just agree. I have to show you, you have to try to figure out how to refute my argument. That was the test to get onto the Sanhedrin. So if you have a capital crime, and out of all the 23 Dayanim, no one comes to the conclusion that the fellow is innocent, it just means that there aren't enough people investigating the Tzad Zuchus. They're not cheshbening it out correctly, and it's an indication that the justice was not served. Because if justice was really going to be served, someone out of 20, right, you know, two Jews, three opinions, if 23 rabbis, right, you're going to have a lot of opinions. So if nobody else, there were no dissenters, so then, you know, that's just wrong. So this is a little bit of the background I think we can use to answer some of the kashas we started off with. So we said, Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing with the Malachim. He says, the Torah is not for you, it's for us. So first of all, why were the Malachim so upset in the first place? They could also learn Torah. So what's the answer? We danced around it a little bit, but we did allude to it. Three words from Rabbi Yehoshua, right? It's not really, Rabbi Yehoshua didn't write the words. They're really in Parshas Nitzavim. Right? Three words in Parshas Nitzavim. So the Bas Kol comes out and says, Ma atem im Rabbi Eliezer. This is Gemara in Bava Metzia. I didn't give you inside, but right. Ma atem im Rabbi Eliezer, shalacha kemoso b'chol makom. Why are you guys arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? The halacha is always like him. What does Rabbi Yeshua say back to the Bas Kol? Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in Shemayim. So what does lo b'shamayim hi means? We don't listen to Bas Kol anymore. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and tells us this is a paskin the Shaila, we don't listen. We say, sorry God, you gave us the Torah, it is our Torah now. We are Koveya the Halacha L'maisa. That's what the Malachim were so upset about. You're giving over the Torah. All of the Hachra'ah of the Torah is going to be left in the human hands. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying back? Yeah, of course it's supposed to be left in the human hands because it's for us. The Torah was meant for us. Maybe the concepts are godly concepts, but the practical halacha l'maisa elements of the Torah are made for us. So how do you get to the point of hachra? What does halacha l'maisa really mean? So Rav Neventzal, on that same piece, explains hachra means finding the aspect of that, you know, mem tes panim lakan, that stems with the mitzias that you're in right now. And you have to find the aspects of that halacha that actually make sense based on where the world is standing. So that's the best posek is someone who can, and Rav Moshe Feinstein really once said this to a New York Times reporter. So they asked him, how do you become the big posek? How do you become known as the great halachic decisor of the Jewish people? So Rav Moshe said, it's one person asks a question, and he gets an answer that he finds he can live with, but is also in perfect concert with the halacha. So he tells a friend, and a friend tells a friend, and they start asking you lots of questions. He says, that's how you become the big posek. So what's the chab? You know, he was explaining how halacha works in a nutshell. Yeah, there are a lot of opinions, and they might all be divrei Elokim Chaim. But the posek's job is to find something that the human being on the level that his generation is on can live with, but is still in accordance with the halacha. That's the idea. So when we say the halacha is like Beis Hillel, why? Because they were nice? So yeah, that's part of it. But what does it mean that they were nice? Beis Shammai was so mean. So yeah, in the stories we like to say, oh, Beis Shammai, they were very mean, bad people, and Beis Hillel was so nice and sweet. Like, no, they were all very, very nice. Right? Maybe different personality types of nice, but they were there. Nobody was nasty or mean or whatever. But Beis Hillel was more shaykh to the people. They were giving piskei halacha that the people could live with. And maybe that's why they were the rove, or maybe it just, you know, Hashem worked it out, al pi hashkacha, that they would be the rove. I don't know. But they were able to give piskei halacha that related to the where the world was holding at that time. Masha'enkein limos ha-mashiach. We'll be on a higher level. So that's what the Zohar means. We'll relate better to the piskei halacha of Beis Shammai. And l'chora, that's why the Torah had to be given to human beings, and we needed to be ki'ish echad b'lev echad. Because the Torah is, as we said before, the infinite das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in God's mind, whatever that means, all of these opinions are all happening at once. And they're all equally true at once. But the human mind can't fathom that. There was one Roeh who could fathom it. It was Moshe Rabbeinu. But he gave us the Torah. And every person's seichel, every person's neshama has a shoresh in Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we're one, you know, less than 0.001% of God's seichel. So our mind is able to see one perspective, maybe sometimes two, maybe sometimes less than one. Right? We're able to see one perspective on one thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu is able to see all perspectives on all things. So there's only one solution to that, and that is to be Baalei Asufos. We have to get together and hear all of the opinions in order that we can somewhat recreate that authentic Torah perspective. The authentic Torah perspective is not if I can convince the whole room that I'm right. That's just psak halacha for humans. The authentic Torah perspective is the opinions. Because in reality, that's as close as we can get to recreating what the Torah really is in Shemayim. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to the Malachim, you guys, yes, you think it's respectful to keep the Torah up in Shemayim, but watch what we're going to do. We're going to show how human beings who lack perspective, we don't have the infinite version of the Torah that you have. We have a very finite, small version of the Torah. And we're going to then recreate through our hard work, we're going to create that infinite corpus of Torah through our single pathway seichel. Because we're going to get together and we're going to learn. We're going to mirror the multiple perspectives that Hashem gave over. We're going to demonstrate how to rebuild that from the ground up. And that's a much greater Kiddush Hashem than anything you Malachim can do. Because you guys are living in the Olam HaNeshama. You're infinite to begin with. To you, that's always what the Torah was and is. And that's, by the way, why the Malachim were so angry. They're like, what, you're going to take the infinite Torah and turn it into a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? I like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch very much, don't get me wrong. But like it says, that's not what the Torah is. The Torah is this infinite body of everything. And you're going to turn it into, you know, a Chayei Adam and a Rashi on Chumash, and that's it. It's not Shaykh. You're disgracing everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no, we're going to give it the ultimate kavod. because we're going to apply it to our lives as a single entity, as a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but we're also going to recognize the infinite nature of the Torah. And we're going to recreate the infinite nature of the Torah and show why it's why it is such. And show how it has to be that way. And that we're going to give the ultimate kavod to the Torah. But that only works if we are ki ish echad b'lev echad. That only works, not that we have to agree. Chas v'shalom, it's terrible when we agree on everything because then we don't get to do this. But what do we need to do? We at least need to be able to sit in the same room and listen. So that's why we could only be mekabel the Torah when it was Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Because the problem is not when people disagree. Right? When what's the problem? When people fight so much that they're not willing to listen to the other side. If you're not willing to hear it out, so then that's a disgrace to the Torah. Right? The Netziv writes this in his introduction to his, to the Hamikdavar on Bereishis. The Netziv writes that what was the reason for the Churban? And he says that because people would look at other people who were serving Hashem and had a slightly different derech and avodas Hashem, and they would call them tzedukim and apikorsim, even though they were 100% l'shem shamayim, and they were following the Torah, but it wasn't exactly my way, so it had to be the highway. And that's it. You go to your base medrash, I'll go to my base medrash. We're never going to talk. We're never going to have anything to do with each other. No, just the opposite. If you disagree with me, I want you here with me, fighting. But not that kind of fighting. The fighting where we listen to each other. And I could try to explain to you why you're wrong. And you try to explain to me why I'm wrong. And maybe we won't agree at the end of the day, but there's nothing wrong with that. We'll take a vote, and however we paskin, we paskin. You think in the days of the Sanhedrin, everybody agreed on everything? Pashtus, no Jews ever agreed on anything. But there's a difference between disagreeing and not being willing to hear the other side. And that's what we have to avoid, right? It's not yet 3 weeks, but that's always an important message, no matter what. But that's the, I think, the yisod of being the Balei Asufos, and you have to turn your ear into an Afar Cheses, right? You have to be willing to funnel all the opinions into your mind, because that's really what the Ribbono Shel Olam sees. And the greatest disservice we can do to the Roa Echad and the Kael Echad who gave us the Torah is not be able to hear the other side. So whether it's in Halacha, Ashkafa, etc., we have to realize that the greatness of the Torah is in its multitude of opinions. And the ability to say, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, yeah, I think I'm right, but I also recognize that the fact that I only think that I'm right is the ultimate chisaron in me. Because I am a human being, I don't have the godlike seichel. If I had the godlike seichel, I would see your side also. Right? We think that, oh, Hashem loves all Klal Yisrael, you know, but even those guys who are so dumb. Right? No, it's not that Hashem sees the people that we don't agree with. We, just being me, just for the record, I don't know. So Hashem sees the people that I don't agree with, and he like pats them on the head. Yeah, they're there, Tatala. You know, it's okay, I love you too. Right? Like Echad Chacham, Echad Tipei, Shech Rasha, whatever. Hashem loves them all because he pats them on the head and says, they're there, Tatala. No, it's because their perspective is legitimate, and their perspective is part of the body of the Torah. So it's important to keep that in mind. Now, with the proviso of Rashi, that it has to be a legitimate opinion. It has to fit in with rayas and with svaras, etc. It can't be just something that you came up with and it's mitzius is wrong. Right? Now, it's not always so easy to tell, but it's important to keep that in mind. Anyway, I think that's just one way to learn this sugya. Perhaps there are infinite other ways.